Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Start by telling you a very true and beautiful story from the Bible, from a little book in the Bible called Ruth. And the story begins in a challenging time, pretty much like ours, really. There's a couple, Elimelech and Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they leave Bethlehem because there is a famine in the land. And they travel to a place called Moab. It takes them 7 to 10 days to walk there. It's only 50 miles, but it's very mountainous and it's obviously quite hard going. And if you think about some of the things maybe that you've seen on the TV in the last couple of weeks, no food on the shelves, no toilet rolls and nappies, or even maybe the pictures that are coming out of India of, you know, thousands and thousands of people just flocking away from cities to find food, then I guess you could say they were in a similar position to us. But then you'd have to take it on another level because not only was there no food at that time, but the harvest had been ruined, which meant there was going to be no food for the rest of the year. And so this family decide to leave Bethlehem. They sell everything up and they head off to a place called Moab. And in Moab, life's good for a while. The two boys, they find some lovely Moabite women and they get married. But then tragedy strikes and the three men in the family are all killed. These three women are left alone in a masculine society. They've gone from having full lives, I guess lives of hard work, maybe some parties and dinners, maybe some trips out, some time with family, you know, a normal kind of life, to a different kind of life, a life where they're, you know, living or perhaps even just about existing, living with a sense of loss. And not only that, Naomi is a long way from home in a strange land. She's lost her protection, and it's as if life was stripped bare. And I think probably some of us can identify exactly with this situation. Don't know if you're like me and Google Photos, you know, they pop up, don't they, every so often, and you get pictures of last year or the year before or 3 years ago. And you kind of look at it and you go, wow, how different life is right now to what it was then. And it's almost as if we're all living in our own little bubble. Some of us are living in the key worker bubble, where we're maybe doing 12-hour shifts and just about making, you know, everything fit into the day. We've got people in bubbles who maybe the whole family are now working from home. We've got the bubble of the key worker who's now having to live into the job that he used to leave. The bubble of the older person who is isolating but on their own. The bubble of parents who are trying to work as well as doing homeschool, the bubble of being a teacher or working for the police and social services, and how that is now different. The bubble of being a family all living together with vulnerable people in the house as well as key workers and trying to work out how this works. The bubble of a couple maybe isolating for health, or the student having to move back home, or those caring for elderly and vulnerable people trying to stay safe and keep them safe. Of landlords struggling to pay bills when the tenants have left, of retired NHS staff wondering, do they return to the workplace or actually is it not a good idea? You know, we all have our own bubbles that we are living in. And for all of us, our patterns of life have changed. Even if they haven't changed a lot, they've still changed. Our freedoms have changed. Our normal support networks are not available in the same way that they were. And like Naomi, we too are faced with a choice. We can choose to either be purposeful and walk towards community, or we can choose to let it drift, or actually to walk away. And that's the first point that I want us to consider today. Step in, don't step away. Will I walk towards community, or will I walk away? And I know some of you are sitting on the other side of this screen right now going, yes, Michelle, I know you're talking to me. Or perhaps God's giving you a little nudge. But you know what? Naomi was just the same. Naomi told her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, just to leave her, to go back to their own families. And eventually the story says that Orpah did exactly that. So we're going to pick up the story in Ruth chapter 1. And we're going to start from verse 14. And it says this. At this point, they wept out loud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. You go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived there, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So Naomi, she withdrew. She tried to do it alone. And you know, when we're in pain and when we're struggling, when our insecurities and our feelings rise up and become our focus, it's the easiest thing in the world to do is to withdraw, to send people away, to stop answering messages, to be angry or irritated or cruel, to put barriers up, to apportion blame or to respond aggressively, to verbally attack people or lash out on social media. Our language can become, woe is me, my life is hard, you don't understand, if you were where I were. Even this week, a few metres from our house, I was just taking a walk on the lane, you know, as we are encouraged to do, and someone drove past making rude gestures at me as if I shouldn't be on the road. And, you know, I've heard other people ranting on social media, and I know other people are sat at home nursing bitterness and hurt and pain and slowly shutting people out. But what about you today? Do you recognise yourself in any of the things that I've just said? It's a lot easier in isolation to withdraw. When actually many people and organisations are saying, look, we're all in this together. You know, let's remember that. Let's walk towards community and not away from it. The whole of mankind is living through similar things at this time. So think twice before you send that email. You know the one I mean. Or before you post that story that you weren't sure you should really post. Before you judge someone else on what they're doing. Think again and make an effort to get in touch and have that encouraging conversation instead. And if you do get one of those emails, then be kind. Go from a place of grace and try and put yourself in someone else's bubble. The new mum struggling with her children and desperately wishing she could get out of the house. The key worker wondering every day if today's the day they'll catch the virus and pass it on to their family. The self-isolator feeling like no one notices and no one cares and is just desperate to see a face and hear a voice. The family who are literally tripping over each other at home where maybe tempers are frayed. Maybe all they want to do is get out. Instead, just start from a place of grace. Do something nice for someone. On Wednesday, as I was writing this, a package came through the post for Abby, and it was from Iona, who is our eldest son's fiance. And she just sent small gifts out to all her bridesmaids, full of sweets and nice treats and just lovely things. And it just made Abby's day. So thank you, Iona. What could you do today that will help you walk towards community and encourage someone else? But the story carries on, and Naomi went from losing hope to having hope restored. They heard that God had supplied food back in Bethlehem, and so even in her pain, she knew where she could find help. She knew that hope wasn't cancelled, and that's my second point today. Know that hope isn't cancelled. My parents' church have this as a frame around their Facebook pictures, I guess you call it, and it sums up this whole life with Jesus. You know, hope isn't cancelled. And maybe you've tuned in today and you're looking for help. Maybe you feel hopeless. God saw Naomi and God sees you right where you are, right in your living room, even whether you're sat in your pajamas, God sees you at this moment. You're noticed by God, whether you feel it or not, you're not alone. God saw Naomi and had a plan and a purpose for her life, a plan to restore hope. And God wants to restore hope in your life too. Naomi's life changed once she went back to her people. And we're not called to do life alone. We're not called to be isolated. We're called to do life together. And when we're together, then God commands a blessing. And God sees you today wherever you are, and he's calling you back home. You know, you may not be able to be with us physically, but you can be with us online. We can be part of a community. We can be part of a small group. We can, you know, get to know other people even in this season. And so maybe God is calling you back today, back into his presence, back to know him as God. He created you. The Bible says that he formed you, that he knit you together in your mother's womb. So God knows you intimately, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to invite you back into his presence, and he wants to invite you back into his family, the church. And so if today you're sat watching this and you don't know God, at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to take that first step or to come back to God again if maybe you once knew him but you walked away. We want to give everyone the opportunity to meet with God and to find friendship and fellowship with him. And Church Online is such a great way of doing that because you can start that journey and you can work it out whilst tuning into messages and getting involved in a small community of people. And I'm so excited about this because I think when we get back together as church, there's going to be a whole heap of people that we've never met physically who are there worshiping God with us, who are part of our family. And I'm really excited that you might be one of those people. But let's continue now with a story. And Naomi and Ruth, they're back in Bethlehem, and Ruth offers to go and pick some grain. And it was the custom in those days that the edges of the fields where the workers were gathering the grain would be left for the poor, for the widows, for the orphans, and for the foreigners. And this was a command that God gave in the very early days of the Bible to Moses. I guess it was a little bit like the first ever food bank. And so as we read from chapter 2, we'll start again at verse 3. It says this: "So Ruth went out and entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrives from Bethlehem and greets the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'The Lord bless you,' they answered." That just really kind of sticks out to me. "As it turned out," it says in verse 3, as if it was a coincidence that Ruth would go into the field of Boaz. You know what? There aren't coincidences in God. And maybe you feel like you've tuned in and it's just a coincidence that I'm speaking to you right now. But can I just say to you, it's not a coincidence. You are here because God wants you to know that there is an invitation into his family to be part of his community. So keep listening, don't tune out, and just find out about the rest of the story because it carries on. "So Boaz answered the overseer of the harvesters, 'Who does that young woman belong to?' The overseer replies, 'She's the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has stayed here from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter.' So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled.' At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' Boaz replied, 'I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" And so we see that Ruth's gathered grain from morning until night. She's threshed it and she's taken it back to Naomi. And when she gets back to Naomi, Naomi is amazed by the amount of grain that she has. And so she asks Ruth, well, you know, where did you go? Whose field did you find yourself in? And Ruth tells her that the man whose field that she was in was a man called Boaz. At which point Naomi, it's like her face changes. And she says these words. Verse 20 says, the Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. This man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers. At this point, Naomi, she's been kind of stuck in her own misery and in her own pain. But then it's like she realizes that something incredible is happening here. She realizes that there is something to be thankful for. And so from this point on, this is like the pivotal moment in the story where she goes from looking back to looking forwards. And I wonder today for us, you know, what is it today that we are thankful for? What is it today that if we noticed would stop us from looking back or looking in and actually help us to look forward again? Would help us to start thinking about what is beyond this? Would help us to start seeing other people and helping others, which is what Naomi started to do. You see, from this point on, Naomi stopped worrying about herself and started focusing on how to help her daughter-in-law and set her up for an incredible life. And so my third point today, as we carry on doing this, is this: love deeply and do not falter. Love deeply and do not falter. Ruth was known for doing exactly this. Ruth was devoted. She was loyal. She was generous. She was sacrificial. She was committed and she was kind. She loved deeply. Even when Naomi was at her worst, even when she was struggling, her love did not falter. Her language was, I will come with you. It was, let me gather the grain. And her actions backed up her words. How deeply are you loving those around you? Do your actions back up your words, either physically or online? Are you encouraging people? Are you volunteering to help? Or are you having to like be prized into doing something? Are you problem focused or are you solution focused? If you're part of a team, are you expecting your team leader to do all the running and checking on you and make sure you're okay? Or are you, you know, going forward and checking in on other people? I love it when I get texts going, hey, you know, can we catch up? Or this person's been in touch, or this person really encouraged me today. You know, it's amazing being part of something like that where people are naturally loving other people. Do you do what you say you will do? If you offer to do something, do you carry it through? What kind of fragrance surrounds you physically and online? Can I encourage all of us? Ruth wasn't the head of the family. She wasn't the person who was making all the family decisions. And you know what? We always don't always find it easy to love, but Ruth carried on loving. And so can I encourage you when times are hardest, when maybe other people in the family aren't particularly being very lovely, you know, will you continue to love? Because if you love in the hardest times, then people notice the difference and God will use you in ways that you would never imagined. You may be isolated, but you're not alone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says this: therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so as I close, I want to end with a call to action. I want to end with a call to action to be like Ruth. And so I've got some practical things as we close for you to write down. Paul says, do good to the family of believers. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, live by the Spirit. And then in verse 22, it says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law against being joyful. There's no law against loving people. There's no law against gentleness and patience and kindness. So what are some of the ways that we can show these attributes? What are some of the ways that we can demonstrate these in this season? There's no law against FaceTiming someone. There's no law against looking out for someone and maybe inviting them to lunch. You know, maybe they can't really come in real life, but you can pop a phone on the place where they would be sitting and they can be part of the conversation. They can be part of what you are growing, what you have within your home. There's no law against writing a letter to someone. There's no law against offering to help someone as long as you follow the guidelines. You know, there's no law against staying at home and being a blessing online. Maybe you're a resourceful person. Maybe you're a person who's been in business and can do something more practical. You know, we've got people in our church who are on the front line without protective clothing. We've got social workers and care workers who, you know, actually would be really grateful of some plastic gloves or face masks or disposable aprons. You know, maybe you were involved in somewhere where they, I don't know, changed nappies or did something with food that they had to have this kind of stuff. Well, you know, maybe you could go and obtain those back from your business, and maybe you could help in a practical way. Or maybe you're at home and you can't get out. You're saying, but Michelle, how do I help? Well, we've set up on our website, we've set up a way that you can donate into our coronavirus response fund, because we want to be able to bless those in our community, in the church, who are doing things online, and we want to resource them. So if you're at home wanting to help, you can just do that. You know, it's really simple, but you can be a blessing wherever you are. But we're also called to be a light into our world. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So how can you do this? You can be a positive presence on social media. You can speak life into the darkness. If you're healthy, then we'd love to hear from you, because we know that there are people who want help with shopping. There are people who are isolated and alone in our very neighborhood, not in our church, but people who are needing help. And if you're saying, look, I go out and do my shopping, I can do someone else's shopping at the same time, we would love to hear from you. And you can get in touch with us. They'll tell you at the end, the response at Valley Church email. You can email that email and get in touch with us and let us know that you would love to help. You can find out what's going on near you in your neighbourhood, and you can get involved right where you live. You can buy extra food as you shop in the supermarket and drop it in the pickup point at the end of the checkout where they collect for places like food banks that are depleted at the moment. You can volunteer to help. There are so many ways that you can help out. And I love that there's already people in our church that are doing just that. You see, you may be isolated, but you are not alone. And it's time for us not just to get cozy in our own little families. It's time for us not to be so absorbed in our problems and issues that we ignore the opportunity that the church has to do good in this season. You see, we can't do everything, but we can do something. Now, I'm not encouraging us all to go and break rules. I'm not doing that at all. So please don't hear that. But what I am encouraging is that we're not paralyzed by our own fear. The things that we see on the TV, you know, they're not going to stop the church, because we know who we have believed in, and we know that he's able to keep us. The Bible says to keep us until the end, until that very day where we meet him face to face. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, and we're called to be the church in this time, and we're called to make a difference. So today, I want to encourage you. Will you step into community today? Will you live in the knowledge that hope is not cancelled, that God is with you, that he has a plan for you, and that this season will come to an end? But will you in this season take up the call of action? Take the opportunity to do good in this season. And let's make a difference in the world that we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.